The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning, tune is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live looking 7 a.m. Pacific at the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook. Kelly, buzzing. A buzz. Is that what they say about this sportsbook? It is already deep. I'd say about 20 deep on the line trying to bet these games today. And this place is just always amazing, certainly on a March Madness day. It's amazing on a Wednesday afternoon in July also. But someone will invariably get shut out at 9:15 Pacific because they got there too late.
Yeah, I would say this shot's a good example of Pro Tip 1.
Yeah.
Download your apps.
That's right.
And pro tip two, look to see if there's kiosks maybe 10 feet behind where you're currently standing.
This is not really the kiosk crowd or the app crowd,
no,
you know what I mean?
It's not the kiosk crowd, that's for sure.
It's not the most progressive crowd here at the South Point.
I walked in with one of the gentlemen who I'm sure has gotten his bed in by now.
Yeah.
But I walked in those doors right there, and he saw the line. Well, first all I heard was cussing. And then I walked in, and I was like, oh, he saw the line and saw that it was like 20 deep and got angry.
There's other ways, man.
Other ways.
All right, on the show today, all about college hoops. Dallin Cuff from ESPN's Daily Wager, he will join us. Also, of
there's
course,
the
college.
Kiosk.
There's the kiosk. Empty. Live shot of the empty kiosk. No one's using it. Is there nobody there?
One dude. Yeah, I think one of four is taken up.
That's great. Dallin Cuff from Daily Wager and college basketball broadcaster for ESPN. He's going to join us. Danielle Alvari will join us. Our own Danielle.
Hey!
Primetime action co-host who is here at VSiN, also DraftKings starting five host, and Jason Weingarten in studio. Both Danielle and Jason in studio, correct?
Yes.
Ah, love it. Again, the better idea would just have the two of them banter back and forth for an hour while we sit there and eat popcorn.
While we go join these guys in line.
That's right. And maybe former Maryland head coach, maybe former Maryland, you know, national champion head coach Gary Williams will stop by. We don't know. We'll see how it goes. Maybe. What do you put in the odds on that, Kelly?
55-45.
55-45 in favor.
In favor.
Okay.
In favor.
All right. I like that. So yesterday, like March Madness, it is the greatest time of year. I didn't have a good betting day yesterday, but Survivor, which we'll get to momentarily, is just obsessive, and that continues on today. I'll let you know my Survivor picks momentarily, but just yesterday, I didn't think there'd be many upsets yesterday. There were two definite ones in terms of seeding, in terms of bracket upsets based on seeding. Obviously, there were some shorter upsets based on the betting lines, but the big two, Princeton, a 15 seed knocking off Arizona outright, and Princeton, the 11th, 15th seed of all time to advance past the round of 64. And they do it, Kelly, without really doing anything special. They were 4 of 25 from behind the arc, and they only hit three free throws, and they still knocked out Arizona.
Yeah.
Arizona, 15-point favorite. Like, I don't know what you're doing, Tommy Lloyd, but coaching it might not be one of the things you are doing. Goodness gracious, that was bad. And by the way, we have my Survivor pool is nine. I want to say it's 961 people deep. Don't hold me to that exact number, but it's 900 and something. One entry took Princeton. One out of 961, nearly 1,000 entries. One entry had the onions, the cojones, if you will, to take Princeton. So good on them. They're in the driver's seat after day one, anyway. The other big one.
It's great how that works, though, with the Survivor. Because it's like, hey, great hit. But, like, you've got several others to hit
it's not even close to being even settled. But the other one was Furman, right? Everybody had Furman yesterday, plus the points against Virginia. We're like, oh, what could possibly go wrong there?
And to a point where you and I brought it up, right? Where it was like, boy, does it feel like the whole planet's on Furman.
And for a moment there, it looked like they wouldn't get there. For much of that day, it didn't look like they'd get there. Furman ends up winning in the most, you know, buzzer beater, just beautiful fashion, March Madness traditional fashion that we've come to know and love over the years. Poor Kihei Clark. I immediately texted everybody. I'm like, oh, this poor kid who had such a, you know, just amazing memories of the 2019 Virginia run to the championship, and now the career is tainted by this. Furman is down four. They hit two free throws. Kihei Clark from under the basket just throws a baseball pass down the court. Like, I don't know what he was doing. And it's picked off, and then J.P. Pegues splashes the three. Now, it wasn't a buzzer beater, by the way, technically, because Virginia did have the ball, but it was a desperation heave at the end. Jim Root, by the way, unbeknownst to me, Jim Root from Three Man Weave, has Clark made one of the best and one of the worst passes. He called it that hand grenade in NCAA tournament history. And the best, and this is what I was referring to when I was texting people, remember Virginia's run to the championship in 2019 was one of the most, we use this term team of destiny a lot. I remember saying this at the time. If there was ever a true team of destiny based on the way they won games, it was those 2019 Virginia Wahoos. And one of those, remember the Auburn game was unbelievable too, but that game against Purdue, for those who don't remember the details, they were down two in regulation with under 6 seconds left, and Ty Jerome missed the first end of a 1-1, and Mamadi Diakite batted it way back past the timeline, past half court, and Kihei Clark had to run back and get it, and instead of taking a desperation shot himself, he threw the pass back into Diakite, who tied the game up at the buzzer, and Virginia ended up winning in overtime. But that pass was unbelievable at that time, and then yesterday happened. You felt terrible for him. But so good on people who had Princeton, good on people who had Furman outright.
Yeah, I didn't catch it live, the end of that, so seeing it as a highlight afterward, oh, man, does it look even worse.
Oh, it's brutal.
Like, he trapped in the corner, and I'm going to just launch this right up for grabs.
I just feel so bad for him in just terms of now he's got to think about that for the rest of his days. I was like, oh, he almost got out, okay. The other one, and this has nothing to do, obviously, Houston has big trouble. We'll ask Dallin Cook about this because Marcus Sasser, not only with the groin injury, had to be pulled at halftime yesterday of Houston's win, but now Jamal Shedd has a knee injury, and Kelvin Sampson, when talking to Tracy Wolfson, he's like, oh, yeah, I'm super concerned. He's very concerned about this for Houston, which is already sort of behind the eight ball with injuries going in, and now they got to worry about Shedd, so there's that. The other one I want to mention, Kelly, is, and it was just a day full of amazing. Like, I lost the West Virginia game. That game was like run after run after run. West Virginia leads by 13. Maryland comes all the way back, and then they lead by, like, I don't know how many points. West Virginia comes all the way back. They lead by, and then every bounce at the end goes Maryland's way. Maryland wins by two. So good on everybody who had the Terps in that game. But the one from the betting standpoint, just from the world from which we come, San Diego State beats, you know where I'm going with this,
well,
right?
Why are you going to come after me, bro?
San Diego State beats Charleston. The spread was 5.5. They win by 6. But those weren't the circumstances at the end of the game. They were up 4, right? And Charleston misses a layup. Ryan Larson misses a layup for Charleston. Jalen Scott of Charleston then fouls Micah Parrish as the clock looks like it's going down to 0.
Mm-hmm.
And the broadcast team is Kevin Harlan, Stan Van Gundy, and Dan Bonner. And Dan Bonner immediately launches into, because Harlan is just doing the play-by-play thing. He's like, well, I think there might be some time back on the clock. You know, he's got that Jeff Parlay voice. I think there's time back on the clock. And Dan Bonner immediately launches into, well, it doesn't matter. They're down 4, so even if he misses the free, like, it doesn't, he actually said it doesn't matter.
Him and Stan both
said. Stan Van Gundy corroborates it, says the exact same thing, and Kevin Harlan offers no pushback. Now, here's the thing. For those of us who, like, bet, right, which is millions of people now, tens of millions, this is no longer cute, right?
Oh.
So my buddy Tommy in D.C., I always bring him up and stuff. I remember he's the last dude I knew that texted. And I remember saying to him, I go, Tommy, it's not cute anymore that you don't text. It's sort of, Kelly, like a VSiN host who doesn't use email. It's not cute. You know what I mean? No names. Just bringing that up. But here's the thing about that. It's like, and I don't want to be, because there's going to be a lot of people who listen who are like, oh, Gil, gamblers are still, the bettors are just this corner of the world. Okay,
no,
not anymore. So I'm not asking you to talk about your in-game bets. Like, I'm not asking Dan Bonner to talk about a middle on an in-game bet, right? I'm not asking him to do that. I'm not asking him to even talk about a total. Let's just talk about that. You don't even have to talk about the total. Like, if it was a difference between 140 and 142, I wouldn't have been bothered by that. But you have to know, and I'm not asking you to talk about the spread at any point in the game either, but if a game comes down to the last moments where a circumstance is interesting enough where you're like, oh my God, this actually does matter a lot to a lot of people. For instance, getting fouled with 0.7 seconds left on the clock in a game line 5.5 where the difference could be between 4 and 6. And by the way, of course, Parrish sinks both free throws.
Way to go, kid.
So if you had Charleston, you're just brutalized. And if you had the Aztecs like Kelly did, you're like, I'm a genius. I'm a genius on San Diego State.
I had 4. I was laying 4, luckily, but I totally thought, I'm like,
but that's
this is the time of year for me to yell at 19-year-olds bricking free throws.
These announcers have got to know that at the very least. I'm not asking for any more than that.
So
just at the end of games when it matters.
I'll take it further than that. I don't think that they need to know the pregame spread, the pregame total, anything like that. But somebody up top needs to tell all these guys that, look, we are now tied in with sports betting in many of these leagues. We are directly tied in with sports betting. You can't have reactions like that because every single point, rebound, assist, no matter where it's coming from, who it's coming from, matters to someone out there that has money on the line. So if there's 0.8 seconds left on a clock, you put that back on the clock and you go shoot free throws. Like, you got to finish the game as it needs to be finished.
You want people to tune in for the last 0.7 seconds instead of turning to the next game? That's how you could have done it yesterday. So anyway, just that leapt off the page as well, if you say.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I was screaming at the TV. I'm like, you don't think it matters? You don't think it matters, Stan? It matters to me.
It was Dan Bonner first. Then Stan was like, yeah, it doesn't matter at all. What are you talking about? Yeah, it mattered. Significant to some, as the great Chris Fowler once said. We'll come back. Dallin Cuff from ESPN, his thoughts on yesterday and his picks today and tomorrow as well. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin, Numbers Game here at VSiN. Always thrilled to have this gentleman on the show with us. He, I think, is about to record Daily Wager here in Las Vegas in about 45 minutes, so we appreciate the time. Former Columbia standout, Dallin Cuff. How you doing, Dallin?
We're not recording, ladies and gentlemen. We are going live here in 15
live.
Minutes. Right down the street. So, yeah.
We're going
right to studio. Here we go.
I underplayed it. 15 minutes live. All right. Well, I really appreciate it. So let's get to it. And let's hold the betting for a second. I'm just asking you to reflect on yesterday for a second. What was your single one or two biggest takeaways? Was it the Princeton upset? You're an Ivy League guy. Princeton upset of Arizona, where Princeton really didn't. I don't think they were that spectacular in even doing it.
Mm-mm.
Maybe it was Duke, the way that they crushed Oral Roberts. I'll just leave it open to you. What was the biggest takeaways for you?
Just to touch on those two, because I mean, Princeton, you're right, they didn't play well. My thing was more so coming into the tournament. I was down on Arizona. I just didn't think their guards are very dynamic. Obviously, their bigs are really good. I took Princeton with the points yesterday. We talked about it on Daily Wager. The two bigs for Princeton are a problem. Tosin Awoma, former league player of the year last year, first team unanimous selection this year. He could be an NBA player. He's one of the most sought-after guys in the transfer portal this year. If he doesn't go pro in the States or overseas, he's from England. And Keyshawn Kelvin is an absolute beast in the interior. So, like, those guys were – the matchup was good for Princeton. I didn't think they would win. The fact that they didn't shoot it well and they still won the game, I think it's more telling about the Arizona team we saw throughout the course of the year. Duke crushed a very good Oral Roberts team. I have not looked to see any movement in terms of Duke's futures. I had them at plus 180 to get to the Sweet 16. I wonder what their numbers are to win the region now, because that was probably the most impressive performance of the day. I think overall, just to keep in mind, I think we all can get caught up in narratives around conferences, and I have biases too. And I faded the Big Ten yesterday, and I paid for that in many regards. So, you know, we saw great variance between Big Ten teams, SEC teams, ACC teams, Pac-12 teams. You got to look at the individual matchup and try to take that narrative away. Outside of the Mountain West, every other conference is the variance is pretty large there. San Diego State got by the skin of their teeth. And the rest of the league has looked pretty poor in the three consecutive tournaments.
Let me seize on Duke for a second. Tennessee obviously won yesterday. They were up 18. They only end up winning by three, and everybody cue the Rick Barnes narratives from everybody else. Duke has won 10 in a row, and now you look at that line. This is for tomorrow's games, that in Des Moines, Iowa. That game in Orlando. Duke is favored by three in that game against Tennessee. Does that seem like it's, because I think there'll be two big reactions to this, right? Some will be like, wow, Duke looks great and Tennessee looked awful in the end and Duke's only favored by three. And then other people who are perhaps more entrenched in college hoops will be like, oh, that feels like an overreaction. What's your take on it?
That's funny. As you, I don't know if you are, like, you hear me, when I looked and saw it before you said the number, I looked on the phone and said, wow, because three is, it's not that the line stinks. It's that the computers and Vegas has loved Tennessee for the entire season. But it's almost like they have not adjusted to what this team has looked like the last month. And the last month, their offense has been even worse. Their defense has been not as elite. And now they're playing without Sakai Ziegler, who got hurt 2.5, 3 weeks ago, who was their one creative player that you give the ball to and he can go off the bounce and create something for himself or a teammate, led them in assists. He's out. They just haven't looked good. I just am not scared of that team. And I feel like if Duke right now provides way more problems, and this is from a defensive thing. With Duke's length right now and their athleticism and their rim protection, they're defending at an elite level. And I think people can easily say the ACC stinks. The back of the ACC is terrible. The middle of the pack of the ACC is fine. The top end with Miami and Pitt and NC State, those teams are teams that have bucket getters on them. They've done a good job in recent weeks when they played those teams of shutting those teams down. I think, and Oral Roberts is a very good offensive team that looked horrible and couldn't get any easy look. I would say, you know, it's not an overreaction to yesterday. And I know the public is going to be hard on Duke, but I would caution people with fading the public here, because when you look at the last 3 to 4 weeks, that's what's playing out why Duke, I feel, is such a strong favorite in this one. And three is way too low of a number. I understand that you can't have, it wouldn't be higher than that necessarily given the season, but where these two teams are at, Duke is 3 points better than the Bulls by a lot.
And Dallin, to answer your question, Duke 4-1 to win the region, 4-1.
There you go. Okay. Interesting.
I'll get to today's games, obviously, because that's more on the table right now. But I'm kind of fascinated with a couple others for tomorrow. What about Princeton? Princeton catching 6.5 against Mizzou. I would imagine there's going to be a run on that number, wouldn't there?
The thing I caution with this is the difference in, and I say this from personal experience, is the athletes at times at high major teams, when you look across from myself when I played, and now granted, the Ivy League is way better than it is now than when I played in it. But you tend to have guys that are 3 inches taller than you, run faster, jump higher. That wasn't the case in Arizona. That's why I like the matchup. They weren't going to be physically overwhelmed at all. Missouri turns you over at an elite rate. Princeton is not great in terms of turning the ball over against teams that are high in terms of high athletes, length and athleticism. Sometimes their guards can get sped up, and you got to get the ball to Tosin. He's got to be able to take advantage of guys. And he did that yesterday because the big him couldn't guard him. And then their guards have tried to guard him. He just does that slow kind of post up, take you down, and he could finish or facilitate from there. Missouri's a tougher matchup. So I'd have to, I'm going to think about this more. I do not think I would not say just jump on Princeton in the 7 points right away. I think this is going to be a game where Missouri feels like they have opportunity. They can turn you over. And if they're shooting like they were yesterday, this team has been undervalued by Vegas and by the computers all year long. And I've actually benefited a lot from that and taken a lot of Missouri points, particularly when they were playing on the road early in conference play. And I think even they were getting points at home against Illinois in a non-league game in December, they beat them by 500. I really do think that team is somewhat undervalued. When they are playing well, they can beat anybody.
One last one for tomorrow, Dallin. Obviously, this has to do everything to do with Houston's injury. Marcus Sasser had to leave the game at halftime yesterday. He's obviously got the groin injury, and now Shed with the knee injury. And yeah. Kelvin Sampson's concerned. Houston, a 5-point favorite against Bruce Pearl's Auburn Tigers tomorrow.
I would definitely play this thing live, if at all. I think the injury is throwing such a wild card in it, and we all know this isn't the NBA or the NFL. They don't have to give us distinctions on guys before the game. So we don't know until you talk to people watching them warm up at the building. That's the best way to go and ask what do guys look like. Or if you're in the building personally, that's really, really when you have any edge or advantage. So I'm going to play this thing live most likely. The one thing I will say with Auburn is they still play in chaos, but they have less talent than what people remember. If they're just checking in on Auburn right now in the tournament, which can be problematic with Houston, because if you're going to take a lot of bad shots, Houston likes to play slow, but they will run opportunistically. And if they're down some of their guys offensively, that's going to help them. They're still an elite defensive team. Doesn't matter who they plug into, they can really still make it hard to score. So I would also look at the team total under for Auburn. I wonder what that number is, because that may be a good play. Because I can see still Houston find a way to just grind this thing and make them take tough shots. And they'll get out and run, but they're going to still make those guys try to play as slow as possible and make them take bad shots, which is what they do better than almost anybody in the country.
I'm going to guess the team total for Auburn is right around, if I do the whole total and the conflation of those two things, probably right around 63-ish, I guess, is what it would come out to, something like that. Oh, that number.
Yeah, I would think about the under on that.
Okay, today, obviously, a lot of people think a lot of these dogs are live as well, some bigger than others. Kent State's in play against Indiana. Drake Miami's a 5-12. VCU St. Mary's, a lot of people like the dog there. Where did you land today, Dallin?
Yeah, VCU, I hate being this was the first time, when I first saw the bracket, I went right to VCU St. Mary's and said, I'm playing that on the money line. I didn't even know what the money line was, but I'm like, I don't need the points. I think VCU is going to beat them. St. Mary's struggles. It's a bad matchup for them. Struggles with length and athleticism. That's exactly what VCU has in spades. They turn you over at sixth highest rate in the country, and they're going to make it hard. We saw even when St. Mary's played any teams with solid athletes, even Gonzaga, that defended well in their last outing, just destroyed them the last two games. It was at the Kennel and the neutral game here in Vegas. Just crushed them. And I think VCU's got that. And they also have a point guard, Ace Baldwin. I covered them throughout the year, and Ace loves big point guard matchups, and he loves having that chip on his shoulder. So everybody talks about Aiden Mahaney and how great this freshman is. I feel like Ace is going to have a mission to destroy this guy. And he did it to other players in the A-10 when they won the A-10 regular season and the conference title. They've won 22 of 25. I think they beat St. Mary's.
Anything else that you like today?
I'm not jumping off Miami. I'm going to stay on Miami -2. I still don't know about the North Shadow Mirror injury, although he may go. He's the one true big, but I still think Miami's guards are just a little too much and their versatility a little too much. So I'm going to get on Miami. I think Kent State, I like Kent State with the number. I may sprinkle some Kent State money line as well. And NC State was +5.5 earlier in the week. I think it's still +5 at some books. As much as I like Creighton's team, NC State with the points and their guards is probably worth a play.
That's the first love for NC State I think we've heard on the show this whole week, because everybody's been killing them.
Yeah, I don't like to hear that.
You're on Creighton?
Yeah, I'm on Creighton. Yeah.
Okay, I leave you with this. The first number one seed to fall will be
Purdue. This is a team that, I mean, we saw their freshman guards get pressured and truly struggle down the stretch of the season. You can turn them over. You can speed them up. They tried to cough up leads. They did at Northwestern in the regular season. They almost did last weekend against Penn State, up 17 with 6 minutes to go against Penn State in the Big Ten championship and won in the last possession. I just don't think they're good enough flat out. And Memphis's guards, Kendrick Davis, one of the best in the country. They are great at speeding you up. They are good at turning you over. They are physical and grown men. I think Memphis beats Florida Atlantic, which is not a foregone conclusion at all. They do beat Purdue in the second round.
That was going to be my follow-up. Will it be to Memphis or Florida Atlantic? I'm lean to Memphis there. Dallin, we'll let you go. Thanks for the time. Enjoy the live daily wager, and tell Fortenbaugh a little more energy next time. That guy lacks energy.
he's a clown. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Dallin Cuff, DalenCuff on the Twitter machine. We'll come back. Our plays today, and maybe some Gary Williams. Who knows? It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get everything you need to bet the madness this year for only $19. Whether you're filling out a bracket or betting against the spread, our team's here to get you ready for every game and every round of the tournament. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get unlimited access to our daily best bets, tools like our exclusive betting splits, plus our Big Dance bracket and betting guides. These guides feature in-depth breakdowns of all 68 teams, Cinderella selections, bracket predictions, and picks on every tournament game from VSiN experts like Brent Musburger and Greg Hoops Peterson. Sign up today to get the betting guides plus full access to VSiN through the end of the tournament for only $19 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. The madness continues today. Greatest time of the year. There is live look into the South Point Hotel Casino. That gentleman right there in the middle, Kelly, is pondering the lines as if he's never seen them before. He's like, what should I do here? Should I go with Kent State or what should I do? So he's gonna figure it out. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Let Texas bet. I'm taking my girlfriend to Las Vegas. We're both big fans of sushi. What's your go-to place?
Well, that's a good move. Good tweet.
Has anything had more legs?
Good tweet.
That's how we know people are listening. I said that one time. One time.
He tried to fish you in to answer that one.
Oh,
that was great.
Oh, man. Nikki Unders. Is there a point in the tournament where I should not be betting either Iga or Alcaraz 2-0 every time? Yeah, I mean, Nikki, look, there's no bigger Iga or Alcaraz guys than I am. But it gets pretty dicey right about now. I have futures on Iga and Carlos. I'm hoping they get to the promised land. But Rybakina and Sabalenka stand before Iga, and Carlos Alcaraz has Sinner and Medvedev standing before him, theoretically. So I wouldn't get too frisky with it down the stretch here, thinking it's 2-0. It's a 2-0 parade. This is from Let's see here. Jed O'Connor going to be a nice team to fade next round against Duke. Talking about, he's talking about Tennessee there. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. Tennessee was another one yesterday. Up 18. Come on. Cover the game against Louisiana. This is from I got to read these. This is from Doug Wedge. Arrived safely in Vegas. Long, hot flight, but got to my hotel fine. Had a few drinks. Checked out halfway decent cover band. I'm tuning in now, 4 a.m. Eastern. This was earlier this morning. He says, so I can head over to the South Point first thing in the morning and hopefully catch Gil and say hello. Please do. Always appreciate folks who come by. Money Caperletti, do you have a site to find next weekend who plays what days, locking in Survivor strategy? I think the days and the per regions are already locked in, aren't they? That shouldn't be too hard to find, isn't it?
That's a good question. Yes, it has to be because of ticket sales.
The schedule is already in there. You can just check any bracket and it will have that. Will Hawkins, talking to Jeff Parlay, really enjoyed you on the Beating the Book podcast. My condolences. Yes, again, condolences to Jeff Parlay on the loss of his grandfather, Stephen Parlay. Jack Larkin, what do I do with the tournament now that Survivor's already over after day one? Oh, I'm sorry, Jack. All I wanted was to listen to Destiny's Child today. Oh, speaking of which, and it goes a little something like this. There you go. By the way, in mine, you can't not be a Survivor because you're allowed one rebuy. So even if you lose all your entries, you get to rebuy. We'll get to Survivor here momentarily. Jason H11, pro tip 3, turn off Wi-Fi. Pro tip 4, turn on Wi-Fi. Pro tip 5, have 30 seconds available to watch the wheel spin. That, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, is your Vegas using the apps pro tip collection. Klee Picks, when Bonner said it doesn't matter, legit 10 people where I was at said out loud, yes, it does.
That's great.
Joe Nigro, can't be too hard on Kihei Clark. He was in a straight jacket, according to Kevin Harlan. Great call. Jamie Leva, I believe Virginia had a timeout left. That poor kid had the timeout that Chris Webber needed. Great show, as always, Chris Webber. Reference to the 1993.
What Chris Webber needed.
The 1993 great. Championship, Michigan against Carolina, where Chris Webber called the timeout he didn't have. This is from GV, New Jersey, New York. Your Kevin Harlan Stan Van Gundy commentary note, I noticed that insistence that it didn't matter to it was weird, almost as though they knew it mattered but weren't trying to mention it. Oh, that's interesting.
Okay, it's interesting.
But it's not true.
I wouldn't read into it that much. It's just these old men stuck in their ways where it's like, why do we need 5 more minutes? Let's get out of here.
Dan Bonner's like, it doesn't matter. With that voice. Corbin, of course it matters. Holy crap, anyone who says it doesn't is just oblivious or straight stupid. Every second commercial on TV is a sports betting company. Not like those companies pay millions of dollars for ads and airtime. Nope, doesn't matter.
It's a good point.
That seems to have resonated with people. Kevin Thompson, getting caught up on the show. That 2019 Virginia-Purdue pass is one of the most painful sports memories of my life, and now we're getting reminded of it. Time to find some Guinness. Sorry. Just wanted to bring up the bookends of Kihei Clark.
Yeah.
Kihei Clark's career. Here,
it's St. Patty's Day.
Oh, today is St. Patty's?
Yeah.
On a Friday?
Yeah,
oh,
in Vegas.
Well, watch this. Let's go through time. You're either getting lit or crunk or whatever you're doing. But it's one of those things.
Who, me or everybody?
Buck Wild. Let's go back in history. You're getting all those things tonight. Kelly Bidlin raging.
No, I love these days, Gil, because it's like when, you know, like when horse racing, there's one horse just so far ahead of everybody else.
Sure.
That's usually me and my drinking. This is where the rest of the pack kind of catches up on days.
Oh,
like
I see.
So I don't feel as weird. You know what I mean?
Interesting. Where will Kelly Bidlin find himself tonight? Where do you think?
I don't know. I don't know because it's crazy out there with the tournament going on and St. Paddy's Day. I don't know. I might stay a little off the grid.
I'm a big fan of when you raise your voice like that and you get in that tone.
I got a show to do tomorrow, too. I can't go too crazy.
Oh, what show do you do tomorrow?
Live Bet Saturday, 12 to 4 Pacific time.
For those who don't know, Kelly has like 3 jobs on this network. He's got this, which, not really. It's a hobby. Then he's got Hardwood Handicappers. Then he's got the old Long Shots. Those are 5 shows a week when you tally them up. And then you got the weekend gig.
Yeah.
Man.
It's all going right now, but it's fun.
So Survivor yesterday, and here is, again, it's my crusade. I get it. Most people do brackets still and not Survivor. But if I can leave one legacy here, it's getting people to do NCAA Survivor. I was able to, by the way, I got Felica in mind. I got Drew Dinsick in mind. For the listeners who are like, hey, can you get us in Survivor? Next year, I promise I'll get listeners into Survivor. But I just have to ingratiate because someone brought me in, I'm bringing others in. So I have to be able to vouch. That's the whole thing. So yesterday it was three entries I'm allowed to buy in. A rebuy, I should say. West Virginia lost, but Northwestern and Tennessee got through for me. Tennessee by the skin of their teeth. Northwestern was a big one. Again, we're incentivized for picking lower seeds because tiebreakers come out to aggregate seeding. So West Virginia, I'm at zero, but I get to rebuy. And on that entry, I'm going with Memphis. Going with Memphis, the 8 seed against number 9, FAU, because I think there's going to be a lot of people. I think most people are going to take Florida Atlantic. So I'm going to go a little contrarian there and take number 8, Memphis. If Memphis loses, that entry is donezo. On the Northwestern entry, which is entry number 2, so that they were a 7 seed, I believe, Northwestern. They are a 7 seed. This is where you got to go for the win now. You're not trying to survive. You're trying to win this. So today I am taking Kent State. Kent State, 13 seed, if they can somehow upset Indiana, what, they're 4.5-point dogs in that game, then I've got a 7 and a 13, and I'll have 20 on that entry, aggregate seeding, and that entry will be in darn good shape after 2 days. I just rebuy.
Kent State as well today?
By the way, Dallin is on Kent State as well, right. By the way, on the rebuy, the rule is, obviously you don't get points. You're also not allowed to pick the team in the next day that beat you. So I couldn't pick Indiana the next day, the next time around when they play. By the way, on entry 3, where I had Tennessee, this is the more conservative pick that I had yesterday. Barely got there. I went Drake over Miami. That's a 12-5. So again, I'm going for it today with the 8, the 13, and the 12 seeds. Trying to position myself in Survivor to not only survive, but also to thrive in this tournament and actually be a threat. So that's how I'm playing that today, and every day it's a Survivor thing. But you got to know the rules. Know that if there's no aggregate seeding tiebreaker, then you shouldn't be playing it this way. But this is the way I'm going to play it because that's all that really matters in the end.
Why couldn't you? So is that that's a standard rule? You can't play the team that you lost against?
On a rebuy situation.
On a rebuy.
Yeah,
okay.
On a rebuy situation, you can't just play the team that beat you. And you lose the point. So that it's a good process. It's a good rule to have. So that's what's going on in Survivor. And again, it's multidimensional chess because then you got to figure out, and this is the biggest one I can tell you, is what that guy just pointed out, and I'm sorry, I forgot your name here, on Twitter, which is optionality is the key. So once you get past this week, here's the, again, it's obvious, but it's not obvious to first-time players because they tend to forget this. The teams that play Thursday and Saturday this week don't play Thursday and Saturday necessarily next week. Mm-hmm. So you got to figure that out with the brackets because, remember, the other way you can lose this is if you just run out of teams in the end. You may still be surviving until, you may not lose, but then you just run out of teams that you can actually still play because, again, you can only play everybody once. So that's the Survivor plays of the day. By the way, I backed each one of those up with a bet, too. Memphis, Kent State, and Drake.
On your point about Memphis real quick, that was one I wanted to see. I was kind of interested to see some of the betting split information this morning to see, if it was Memphis or FAU getting more of the action, because I kind of think you're right that FAU is going to see more of that. From MGM, they only have, the highlighted teams of what they're really seeing a lot of action on. Neither of those teams listed, so it seems like a lesser bet game or more evenly bet game so far.
We'll come back. I'll give you my tennis play of the day. Didn't do that. Oh, another tough tennis loss yesterday. Boy, the brutality of some of these tennis losses. It's just unbelievable. And a look at NBA MVP. The market moves again. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
There's no better time to hit the court for some exciting action in college basketball. Sign up with BetMGM using bonus code TALENTCODE1000 and place your first bet on March matchups. If your wager loses, you'll still receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets. By the way, it can't be that, right? It's VSiN 1000.
Got to be VSiN 1000.
That's the thing. We put in the stuff, and it's like, no. There has to be, the talent code has to be something.
Bonus
it's
code.
It's VSiN 1000, everybody.
One,
that's
zero,
the
zero,
bonus
zero.
Code. You do that. You place your first bet on March matchups. If your wager loses, you'll still receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets. Find out why March is the most magical month in sports and take your shot at thrilling tournament wins. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Conditions, U.S. promotional offers not available in Mississippi, Nevada, New York, and Ontario. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER in Colorado, D.C., Illinois, Indiana, Louisiana, Maryland, Mississippi, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. Call 877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK or text H-O-P-E-N-Y. That's 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona, 1-800-522-4700 in Kansas and Nevada, 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. I like how they go confidential in Michigan. You notice that?
Yeah.
Nice little touch. Live looking, South Point Hotel Casino. And that's our South Point studio, by the way, adjacent to the sports book. How about that?
That's right.
Love our South Point sports book. Oh, yesterday, I should update the Circa College Hoops Challenge, otherwise known as the Matt Eumanns Invitational here at VSIN, where yesterday, going into yesterday, Will Hill was 23-11-1 and nursed a two-game lead over both Jim Root from Three Man Weave and our own Tim Murray. Guess where we are now with five picks left.
What do we got?
We have Will.
Only five picks left?
Only five picks left, right? I believe we're correct on that.
Okay.
Will Hill maintains a two-game advantage after going 2-3 yesterday. So everybody at the top went 2-3. He's now 25-14-1. He also holds the tiebreakers. So for Will to gack this, it would take an epic collapse. What could possibly go wrong?
Wait. He holds the tiebreakers.
Yeah, there's a tiebreaker because they have best bets. So I think he's like 6-1
in
tiebreakers.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
So he would have to be overtaken. So he'd have to lose today by three games, basically. Would you like to know his plays for today? I would.
Yeah, I bet the audience would.
Do da do da do da do da do da do da do. They are. That was my whole music. Vermont. He's taking Vermont plus the points versus Marquette. Oh, catamounts.
Ow.
Let's go. Come on, Will. He's taking FAU against Memphis, taking the 2 points. He's taking Montana State plus the points against K-State. He's taking UC Santa Barbara plus the 10.5 against Baylor. And he's taking Kennesaw State plus the points, 12.5 of them versus Xavier. So it is a dog fest for Will Hill on day, whatever day it is, the last day of this thing. And again, the prize for the contest, once again, the Circa College Hoops Challenge, I believe is a cabana where people get to take photos with Will Hill. I made up that last part. So that's the deal. But here's the real deal is he gets to say for the rest of his days, I beat all y'all.
I think we do need to set up a Will Hill booth with headshots that he signs. Just like, one of these headshots.
Will it be framed like when he comes on the show where he's sort of diagonal, like Batman villains?
No. Where the heavens are shining from behind him.
That's right. Let's go, Will. Don't gack this. Again, the plays from Will Hill, just to reiterate, all of them dogs. They are Vermont, Florida Atlantic, Montana State, UC Santa Barbara, and Kennesaw State.
But the best was the one day where we tried to fix that shot. Accomplished it.
Yeah.
Where I was all impressed with the effort that Will was putting into getting a blanket to cover up this window. And it ended up looking great. And then what did we hear after the show or less than 24 hours later that he had his wife do it?
We can't do that. Can't make the whole family participate.
I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to go through this every week. Yeah, I can't make Will's poor wife be doing this every week.
Yesterday lost on Karolina Muchova against, who was she playing again? I can't even remember. Oh, against Elena Rybakina. She lost in three sets. She had a set point in the first set, gacked it, won the second set, and then lost in three. So again, set point squandered. This on the heels of Tommy Paul squandering 6 match points. This on the heel of 2 other matches where we were 2 points away from winning in straights and gacked both of those as dogs. That doesn't mention before this tournament when we had 2 dogs who were up in the third set, like 4-love, I think over $2 favorite, and 2-love, and then the opponent just took their toys and went home, and so we didn't get paid on those. It's been rough. Katie Volinets was the one that went our way. Never forget Katie Volinets.
Does Yannick Sinner stand a chance? Or Tiafoe?
Oh, he stands against Alcaraz, you mean?
Yeah. I'm just looking at the futures, but...
Oh, he stands a chance for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. I mean, Carlitos is the best, but Yannick Sinner is... I mean, that is a top 10 player in the world who's on the come up.
I'm just doing the simpleton looking at the futures board and seeing a plus 125 next to Medvedev and a plus 140 next to Alcaraz. Yeah. And being like, can I just bet these both and like lock in money?
No, not necessarily. I mean, they'll probably meet in the finals. I don't expect an upset, but Jannik Sinner is, I mean, if you're doing true rankings of world tennis players, like that's the thing on the ladies' side of Indian Wells too. I would say Iga's one, Sabalenka's two, and Rybakina's probably three right now, like okay. at this moment. And they're all playing in the semifinals. And on the men's side.
Yeah, give me your men's top five, regardless of surface.
Well, Djokovic is one. But... Djokovic is one. I mean, regardless of surface.
Yeah, that's where. Well,
Nadal is so banged up that I don't know if you can say he's two, really, on every surface.
Right.
But Alcaraz, I would say, is two. And you gotta throw Rafa in around there, but like Jannik Sinner's top five.
Medvedev's still there, right?
Medvedev would be three.
He'd be three. Okay.
Yeah, Medvedev would be
so
three.
So then you're arguing over four or five, that right? Nadal,
Sinner, four or five, okay. somewhere in there. Yeah. Like I think that's a consensus. That would be consensus opinion on this. So you have Djokovic aside and Nadal aside, you have the best players in the world playing on both sides of these semis at Indian Wells. Which, by the way, again, let me just say, for anybody who can ever get there to go to this tournament, it is fantastic. It was so packed Saturday night. It was just awesome. But it is a bear to get to. Like, when I say we drove through the desert on Friday, Kelly, like, there's a point where it's so deserted, you're like, there's nothing better happen to this car.
What?
You guys will never hear from me again. It's really true.
I haven't done one of those drives yet, by the way. Like, because you don't necessarily need, you know, like, when I first drove out here 4.5 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're coming up from New Mexico. You don't really have like a lot of time where you feel like you're in the desert. And when you're driving through West Texas, it doesn't really feel like that.
Oh, no. And that's the thing. Flippantly, people are like, oh, yeah, you drive through the desert. No. When you're in the middle of it, especially like when you're with your wife or your girlfriend or something, you're like, I'm responsible for this human being. You're like, oh, God.
We'd be in a real bad spot.
You're worried about the hell you'll catch if something happens. I told you we shouldn't have done this. All right. And the NBA MVP, we brought this up the other day, too, because Nikola Jokic has been the presumptive NBA MVP winner, a three-peat. It was just assumed it was going to happen. And then you have the Bill Simmonses and the Zach Lowe's of the world stump for Joel Embiid. And Joel Embiid is now the favorite. Minus 110, Nikola Jokic plus 150. Giannis getting shorter quietly down to plus 350. And I'm just going to reiterate because I ran through this yesterday. I listened to this. Will Hill sent me the Zach Lowe case for why he thinks, and Zach Lowe voted for Jokic the first 2 years. And now he's like, I don't know because Jokic's defense is not as good. I did not find it to be a convincing argument. I'm like, all of a sudden now we're going to care that Nikola Jokic's defense has somewhat, you know, not been up to what it was. Because it was always like his theory was in the past 2 years, well, his offense is unimpeachable and his defense was good enough. But now his offense is unimpeachable and his defense isn't as good. And what bothered Zach Lowe is he has 47 kicked balls this year, which just again, for comparative sake, Vukcevic led the league with 14 kicked balls last year. So 47 is an epidemic where Nikola Jokic basically is out of position on defense or can't defend the pick and roll. So he's like, I'm going to stick my foot out there and kick the ball out of bounds. I still think that's a good defensive play as long as it's legal. I really do.
Again, it's one of those, it's either you putting yourself in really bad defensive position and saving yourself,
yes,
or it's just a good play.
So here's my question. Is there now value on Nikola Jokic at plus 150? Like, would you bet that?
This is where it's so tough for me, Gil, because like last year I was on Jokic, but it was because we had longer odds tickets. Right now, to me, any three of these guys could win it, and I would not have a problem with it. It's just like the most improved player award. I think there's three guys in there, and if any of them won it, I would not have a problem with it. The one argument I can always keep going back to with Nikola Jokic, though, is go and look at on-off splits between these three different players.
Yes.
It is a significant, significant difference from Nikola Jokic to these other two guys of how this team performs
meaning,
when he is on the court versus off the
meaning
court.
Meaning by literal definition of most valuable player, it is clearly Nikola Jokic for his team.
Yeah, now the argument back is, well, the Sixers and Bucks have better teams than the rest of the Nuggets do, and I would say, yeah, you're right.
I'm sorry, let me ask you a question. If they hadn't lost four in a row but had just lost three in a row, would we even be talking about this?
Probably not.
This is ridiculous.
It's recency bias for sure.
This really is ridiculous. Danielle Alvari joins us. We'll talk women's hoops, UCLA on the men's side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.